silence for a moment, then her father's voice again. I think I feel a pulse in her wrist now. Meg could not feel his fingers against her wrist. She could not feel her wrist at all. Her body was still stone, but her mind was beginning to be capable of movement. She tried desperately to make some kind of a sound, a signal to them, but nothing happened. Their voices started again. Calvin. About your project, sir, were you on it alone? Her father. Oh, no, there were half a dozen of us working on it, and I dare say a number of others we don't know about. Certainly we weren't the only nation to investigate along that line. It's not really a new idea. But we did try very hard not to let it be known abroad that we were trying to make it practicable. Did you come to Kamazots alone, or were there others with you? I came alone. You see, Calvin, there was no way to try it out ahead with rats or monkeys or dogs. And we had no idea whether it would really work or whether it would be complete bodily disintegration. Playing with time and space is a dangerous game. But why you, sir? I wasn't the first. We drew straws, and I was second. What happened to the first man? We don't... Look! Did her eyelids move? Silence. Then, no. It was only a shadow. But I did blink, Meg tried to tell them. I'm sure I did, and I can hear you. Do something! But there was only another long silence, during which perhaps they were looking at her, watching for another shadow, another flicker. Then she heard her father's voice again, quiet, a little warmer, more like his own voice. We drew straws, and I was second. We know Hank went. We saw him go. We saw him vanish right in front of the rest of us. He was there, and then he wasn't. We were to wait a year for his return or for some message. We waited. Nothing. Calvin, his voice cracking. Jeepers, sir! You must have been in sort of a flap. Her father. Yes. It's a frightening as well as an exciting thing to discover that matter and energy are the same thing. That size is an illusion, and that time is a material substance. We can know this, but it's far more than we can understand with our puny little brains. I think you will be able to comprehend far more than I, and Charles Wallace even more than you. Yes, but what happened, please, sir, after the first man? Meg could hear her father sigh. Then it was my turn. I went. And here I am, a wiser and a humbler man. I'm sure I haven't been gone 2 years. Now that you've come, I have some hope that I may be able to return in time. One thing I have to tell the others is that we know nothing. Calvin, what do you mean, sir? Her father, just what I say. We're children playing with dynamite. In our mad rush, we plunged into this before. With a desperate effort, Meg made a sound. It wasn't a very loud sound, but it was a sound. Mr. Murray stopped. Hush! Listen! Meg made a strange, croaking noise. She found that she could pull open her eyelids. They felt heavier than marble, but she managed to raise them. Her father and Calvin were hovering over her. She did not see Charles Wallace. Where was he? She was lying in an open field of what looked like rusty, stubby grass. She blinked, slowly and with difficulty. Meg, her father said, Meg, are you all right? Her tongue felt like a stone tongue in her mouth, but she managed to croak, I can't move. Try, Calvin urged. He sounded now as though he were very angry with her. Wiggle your toes! Wiggle your fingers! I can't! Where's Charles Wallace? Her words were blunted by the stone tongue. Perhaps they could not understand her, for there was no answer.